to wash our perspectives. Let the blood of Jesus come and wash right now. That we enter in purified as simply as sons and daughters into the house of our Father.
Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises.
Our hearts are turning. Our eyes are churning. Oh, to you.
Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. You're washed away. Hosanna. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Welcome you here, Lord.
Lord Jesus, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. So oh, come have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here. Welcome you here, Jesus. We welcome you here. We welcome you here. Let's just roll out the welcome mat for the Lord. We welcome you here. The welcome mat, and we welcome you here. We welcome you here. We roll out the welcome mat, and we welcome you here. Every fear. I believe the Lord wants to wash away every fear. Whether that fear is over provision or health. Or relationship. It says every fear is washed away. Oh, shame. So as we seek your face, wash away every fear. So as we seek your face, wash away every tear. Oh, as we seek your face, wash away every fear. Oh, as we seek your face, wash away every tear. We seek your face. We seek your face. Everything else will fade. Everything else will fade. Oh, as we seek your face. As we seek your face. Everything else will fade. Everything else will fade. As I seek your face, as I seek your face, everything else will fade, everything else will fade. As I seek your face, as I seek your face, everything else will fade, everything else will fade. As I seek your face, as I seek your face.
I suspect that you managed to hear the words, as I seek your face. You probably heard the words, right? And I'm hopeful that you did something about it. As I seek your face, everything else will fade. So now I just want to ask you, what does it mean to you to seek his face? I mean, are you looking for a face, a figure, or are you... What are you doing when you're... What's happening when you are seeking his face? Are you doing anything, or you just say, okay, here I am, do what you're doing? Or, are you pursuing him, or... And what does it mean to pursue him? Those are nice words, like seeking his face, nice words. Religious words, by the way. I mean, if I go in looking for my wife, I'm not seeking her face, although I am. I'm looking for her. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't use those words when I'm talking in the natural. I use those words when I'm talking about religious things. All right, let's get off the religion. Let's talk about how do I seek his face? What actually is happening when I am doing the religious thing of seeking his face? What do I do? You're pursuing him. Okay, George says he's pursuing him. Define what that means. Those are nice words, too. What does it mean? He's speechless. First time in his life.
Going after him, reaching for his heart, looking to know him and to be known by him, to be with him. I don't know what else to say.
Okay. So were you reaching for his heart? Is that what you were doing? Okay. Maybe you have your own definition. Maybe you're looking for a picture of his face. But I'm asking you, what were you doing? Or were you doing nothing?
I want to see him looking back.
Estella wants to see him looking back to her. In other words, she's seeking to connect. Seeking to connect. Estella wants to connect. What do you want to do?
In three times I've seen Jesus' face in the window. And his thorns were about that big. The first time I got down. On my hands and knees and said, "Dear Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want somebody that'll accept me for the way I am. I want to meet a girl that was never married, and if there is a Lord up there, will he please answer my prayers?" And then within 2 weeks I had a blind date to a guy at work and said, "I got just a girl for you. She's too much the motherly type." And I called her up, asked her for a date, and my car broke down. So we had to go get a battery for it. And we've been together ever since for 39 years. And I know for a fact, God has all to do with it.
I have no doubt but that if you connect with him, he has stuff for you too, not just Tom. Tom connected and he got a woman out of the deal. What are you connecting for and what do you want? Ah, yes, Pat. When you're seeking his face, what do?
You have to be still. Sit quietly with an open heart.
Sit.
Well, no, you don't have to sit. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get this right. I want to get it right. You know, I don't want to miss out on this.
Wait quietly. Okay, and listen to what he's saying about where you are right then, what he wants to speak into your life.
Were you doing that when we were doing this?
Somewhat.
Okay, and let's be honest. And when you're in church, you have to be honest, remember? And so what I was really trying to do was draw you into that. We say the words and we sing the words, and I'm just saying, let's do the thing. Let's, whatever it means to seek his face, whatever, however that works for you, seek his face. Right now, seek his face. Well, wait quietly. Focus here. And he will order your steps. Let's do it. Let's really, really do it. Yes, sir.
Humility. I'm pretty sure that he's always looking at you. So then, if you're going to seek his face, what you're going to do is look at him.
And he will be there looking at you, and you will be able to collect from him. It is reasonable to expect that he has something for you. You can collect. You can collect.
Child is always looking with expectancy, says Dave. Always, always, always looking for, with expectation. I can tell you from personal experience, as a father, that even if I am not looking directly at Courtney, if I can sense that she has looked at me, and there's something that happens in me, okay? So maybe I'm still preaching and I'm directing my thoughts to Shirley, okay? But I feel Courtney seeing me. And maybe everybody in the whole room thinks I'm still just talking to Shirley. Okay, but let me just tell you something. I sense my child's attention. And she may not even notice that I have two totally different focuses that I'm doing. I'm still preaching, still talking to Shirley, but my daughter's here, and I am very aware of that and the message that I'm giving to her. Now, I think the Heavenly Father never, I don't think he has to orient his face toward one person. My face only goes in one spot, okay? But that's not true of Father. But even so, he's always aware of our looking at him, and his face is communicating what we need at that moment, because he's aware and he loves to love his child in the way that that child needs, specifically right now, in that very moment. His face is designed to communicate. He has intentionally made his face such that his face is releasing the reality that that child needs. I've seen it happen with Keith, where something's going on. Sometimes I've said something silly. Maybe I'm over at their house or whatever, and I say something silly, and I see a kid look at their dad. Why? I need to understand what's going on here. How should I think about my life happening right now? And whatever daddy does, I can do that same thing. Kids are so smart. You know what I'm saying? They look to Father and they can be just like Father. It's safe. Oh, that we would be that intelligent to look at Father, see what Father's up to, and be just like him. We seek your face, Daddy. We want to see you. We want to receive all of our awareness of how to think about life by seeing your face. We want our security to be in you. We want our judgment to be through you. We want our living to be a reflection of you. We seek your face. We seek your face. If I'm aligned with you, Father, that's all that matters to me. If I can walk with you and live with you, that's all that matters. I seek your face.
There's another way to seek his face that hasn't got so much to do with your face as it's got to do with all of you. I'm going to read it to you out of Psalm 131. But before I do it, I want to remind you of what a little child will do. If supposing that his mom is sitting with a group of people and there are children playing and he gets uncomfortable for whatever reason, you know what he does, don't you? He goes to his mom and he sits on her lap, and he's back is to her. She's maybe holding him, or maybe she isn't, but he's on her lap, and he is looking out, and he's perfectly comfortable now with whatever was going on before that caused him to have to go to her in the first place, not bothering him anymore. I'm going to read it to you in Psalm 131. It says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. You got the weaned child bit. He's not after food. He's after comfort. He's a weaned child. Rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. Hope in the Lord from this time and forever. That's another way of seeking his face. Just running, sitting on his lap. Let his arms hold you, and you can look out securely at whatever's going on. Stuff that's too big for your brain to handle, or your emotions to handle, or any part of you to handle, because he's got it, and he's got you.
So we seek your face to see the look in your eyes. We seek your face to see the look in your eyes. Every other look washes away. Every other look fades away. Every other look washes away before the look in your eyes. The look in your eyes. I find another great way to seek his face for myself is to choose to believe what he has said and to choose to disbelieve what the enemy is saying. A lot of my seeking of his face is, God, I'm feeling fear, but I believe your love. I'm feeling anxiety, but Father, I choose to believe what you said. It's going to work out. You said, and reminding myself and him what he said and disbelieving the enemy is a huge way that I press through the junk and experience who he is. So, even as we started this service, I left Lisa home with Rowan and some of the other kids and discovered once I got here that I had the only two bottles that are available for Rowan, and Rowan was crying inconsolably. And so I was sitting here thinking, okay, I have the only thing that Rowan needs and service is about to start. God, how are you going to take care of this? And I was feeling some fear over the issue, like, I really don't want Lisa to be home with a crying baby for 2 hours. I really would not be fun for anyone. And I love the way the Lord speaks to me. Sometimes he speaks to my fingers before he speaks to my mind. And so I started playing something, and I realized what I was playing. It was from one of the songs from the radio that says, Fear is a Liar. It's like, oh, okay, that's a good one. I like that. And I just played and prayed into that for a few minutes. And then Lisa texted me back saying that she found another way around the issue. So things are settled now at home. So fear is a liar. And seeking his face can look like simply saying, enemy, you are a liar. Father, you are the truth teller. So what are you saying right now? Jesus, what are you saying right now? Father, what are you saying right now? Jesus, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? You're silencing fear. You're silencing doubt. You're silencing poverty. You're silencing apathy. Oh, sure. To your voice, we listen to your words, we listen to your voice, we listen to your words, we listen to your voice, we listen to your words, we listen to your voice, we declare. To your voice, we listen to your words, we listen to your voice, oh, we listen to your voice, we listen to your words, we listen to your voice. listen to your voice. We listen to your words. We listen to your voice. Oh, look into your eyes to see the look in your eyes. We look for your eyes. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Spirit, break out. Our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. You're the name we're
sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory is shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here.
Hungry for more.
for your kingdom, Lord, for your presence now. Reality of your kingdom. Baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Baptize us with fire. Soak us in your Holy Spirit right now. Holy fire fall. The Lord actually wants to give us a massage, not just a hug, but the kind of healing touch that just works out knots right now. Feel this thing. Feel your embrace. Let us feel your embrace. All I want to do is love you. All I want to see is your face. All I want to do is touch your heart. All I want to do is love you. All I want to see is your face. All I want to do is touch your heart. All I want to do is love you. All I want to see is your face. All I want to do is touch your heart. All I want to do is love you. All I want to see is your face. All I want to do is touch your heart. To your touch, we submit to your touch, we submit to your love, we submit to your touch, we submit to your love. Touch is so much better. Your touch is so much better. Your touch, your love, your touch is so much better. Your touch. Much better, so much better. Thank you. Who likes the idea of being adjusted by the Lord? Massaged by the Lord. He knows where the knots are, right? And he has a pretty good idea of the underlying anatomy, right? Yeah. Father, we submit to your love. We submit to your touch. Your face is what we seek. Your eyes is what we want to see. Your touch is what we receive.
I don't know if you guys go to the chiropractor or not, but I do occasionally. And lots of times, what my guy will do to me is he'll go that way, and then I'll go that way, and then I'll go and just kind of like line it all up, okay? And actually, the message I have today really is just exactly a and then a to go the other way, and then a to line it up, okay? And so today we're gonna do some adjusting, just some adjustments. The Lord sometimes, as you guys know, talks to me in mathematical and scientific terms. And anybody that's interested in the mathematical consequences of today's sermon should meet me after service, because I'm not going to go into it before service.
Earlier I did sense the desire of the Lord to touch in, and what I saw was like he was running his hands down the front of our chest, and in there, of course, is the heart, but in there was also a harp, H-A-R-P. The strings went down like this, and normally you play the harp across, usually both hands. And what he was doing was running his hands down the harp strings, sorting them and setting them in right order, so that then he could play. But what I saw this morning was his running his hands down the harp strings of our heart as he prepares us for playing at some other point in time. So the harp strings are being aligned by the fingers of the Lord. Let your harp strings be aligned.
It's interesting, actually, that you sensed the touch earlier, because My first clue, you know, I had three of my kids around me, and I'm helping, you know, make sure that they're not knocking the drum shield over or anything like that. And I look back, and they're massaging each other, like, eerie.
And I felt like, the touch of God, and then I looked up, and it was my brother.
Like, okay, what are they doing that for? And I'm like, well, God, what are you doing? And then I saw, I'm not sure who had whose hands and whose shoulder, but David and George. It's just like, ah, yes, that's what the Lord is doing. He is actually touching and working and adjusting.
It's a good thing to be touched by the Lord. It's a very good thing to be touched by the Lord. Good to be with you today. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Receive that. That wasn't just idle words. Receive it. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May everything that you need be yours in abundance. In Jesus' name, I just release to you grace. Grace. I'm speaking healing into some of those bodies in Jesus' name. I'm speaking healing into you in Jesus' name. I'm speaking financial wisdom to others of you in Jesus' name. I'm feeling strength into bodies right now. Strength. Strength into bodies in Jesus' name. Clarity in Jesus' name. The presence of God just surrounding you always. Rest in Jesus' name. Last weekend, Elizabeth and I spent the entirety of the weekend in Buffalo serving the Chinese church and some other Chinese churches that are associated, affiliated with that Chinese church that we commonly connect with. The Douglases. Keith and Lisa and Kira, came and ministered with us during Friday night and Saturday morning-ish. And the Smiths ministered to the rest of the the Douglas kids while the Douglas parents and Kira were with us. And many of you were in prayer for that whole thing. And I just want to say I thank you so much for who you are in the process of my ministry, okay? And yes, Elizabeth's and Keith's and Kira's and Lisa's and all of the above. I just want to say I really am grateful and see the unity of the body in the process and appreciate who you guys are in it. Just some quick results from that weekend. I don't know if you have anything that you want to share, but I'll bring the mic if you do. But we had a really, I felt like it was just an excellent breakthrough time most of the time it was like a dozen to a dozen and a half kids right in that vicinity, you know, 12 to 18 kids. There was impartation. There was a shift in how they believed they could hear and know God. How they believed that they could speak the word of God. They actually were primed the pump. They were shifted and moved in that ability.
I loved the opportunity to have time. You know, honestly speaking, coming into it, I was a little intimidated. Like me and a bunch of teenagers, and how am I going to? You know, what do I have to offer? But, you know, the Lord just really blessed our times together. We had, you know, the four of us, George, Elizabeth, Lisa, and I had made plans. But we were like going into it, Lord, you know, we have plans, but without your presence, this isn't worth, you know, a thing. And he definitely blessed us with his presence. I feel like just for the time that we were there, the number one emphasis was, hey, you can hear the voice of God. And we just had just great activities and fun to help prime the pump and help them realize, you know, perhaps even accidentally, oh, yeah, I do hear the voice. Oh, okay. I do hear the voice of God. You know, because in a group setting sometimes, you know, we're saying, okay, well, we had a time of soaking, and, you know, what did you guys hear? And it's silence. Okay. But when we got integrated into some activities, we did actually a musical chairs activity where, you know, everyone had a piece of paper with a negative thing, you know, a negative emotion or a problem written down on it. And so whoever got out on that round of musical chairs had to prophesy to someone who was dealing with that. So, hey, your piece of paper says fear. What is God saying to that person? And they would say, God is saying you don't have to be afraid because he died for you. Before we know it, these kids are prophesying. So it was
neat. Right at the end of that particular activation, Lisa put one kid totally, totally on the spot, the last kid, and said, you know, you don't even get a piece of paper. Just prophesy over Keith or George. And the kid was like, what? You know? But he prophesied over me. He really did prophesy over me, too. He spoke the word of the Lord to me. He said, I think the first words out of his mouth were, do you remember? You are fun, or something. He was speaking to me, and he said, you are fun. Well, the hilarious thing is, as soon as he said that, Elizabeth and I looked at each other, because one of the words that I had falsely spoken over myself in preparation for that sequence of meetings, I said to Betsy, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I've got all these kids. I'm not fun. I had said that. And it's just one of these things, but how in the world, I mean, we sat on the couch and laughed for probably 45 minutes while I went on and on in relatively self-deprecating humor. and we just, I mean, it really ended up being a very fun time for us, but it was such a clear thing that this young man named Samuel
declared the word of the Lord to me. It was probably his first prophecy ever, I would have to say. But it was just really neat. Give me some names. Samuel, Dorabeth, Zequin. Go ahead, give me some names, guys. Help me out. Snow. I'm just giving you names so that you can continue to pray for these kids, okay? So don't be idle here. I'm giving you names, okay? Jessica, Emma, Kylie, Ella. Kevin, Thomas. These are people that you've ministered to already, and so I just want to have you continue to sow into them. There's a couple more, guys. Help me out. David, good. Just looking my way through the class and just struggling to see them all now. Love them all. They're so precious. So precious. John. There was a John that came like once, remember? Big brother to Dorabeth. Well, you can pray for them all, okay? You can also pray. We had a neat connection with another couple, a pastor and his wife. Pastor, businessman, missionary guy. Really liked him. His name's Kurt and his wife's name's Kathy. You can pray in prayer for them as well. They're just really neat people that God connected us with and just kept on working us together with them. Just really a blessing there. So I just thought I'd give you a quick report on some of that. The kids were dramatically shifted. I didn't know if I ever told either of you guys, but I got a report back. I don't know about you, but when I go into a place, I definitely want to go there and I want to establish kingdom dominance in the atmosphere over the region, right? And, I could have, I suppose, chosen the one little classroom as the arena for me to establish kingdom authority in. But that wasn't what I felt led to. I felt led to establish kingdom authority over the whole conference. And, definitely, Chung had one session and some pretty significant Chinese apostolic leaders had other sessions. And I was in prayer, not just for our stuff, but for the rest of the stuff. And I know that there were, according to both Chung and you guys know her, her and Chung both reported back to me that there was serious breakthrough in the conference as a whole, and that the power of the Spirit was powerfully breaking through into that conference in different ways than it had been before. And Chung really felt like it was a significant breakthrough, and so did her. So, good stuff. Really want to appreciate your prayers and your blessing as we were there. I don't want to get too very far into what I'm about to say, so don't let me, okay? But you and I, we are called to shake up the world. We are called to leave a world that is never again, the same as we found it. I don't mean we're to make a dent and then the dent goes away. I mean we are called to alter the course of human history in a big way. Can I say this to you? You have the ability to be part of that Holy Commission. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read to you a few verses. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. Who's calling? Anybody? Who? His who? Could be Jesus. I'll buy into that. Could be the Father. I'll buy into that too. If it's Jesus, then it's the calling that you and I share with Him. And if it's the Father, then it's the calling that He put on you and I and Jesus. Okay? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Did you know that God has put stuff into us He wants to inherit with us when we die? When you get your inheritance? When the other person dies, right? Right? He has put stuff into us that He gets to inherit when we die. His inheritance in the saints. And guess what? It's for us too. It's awesome. It's really cool. Okay? And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. So this is something I did teach the kids last weekend. So where's Jesus' butt? Anybody want to know? Where's Jesus' butt? Seated in heavenly place. Okay, so that's a key issue, okay, because that's our first anatomical reference of numerous through this thing. Okay, so Jesus' butt, let's remember that, okay? Remember where Jesus' butt is, okay? Because it's important, okay? Seated in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. So if you ever wonder what the structure of the authority thing in the heavenlies that are far beyond this realm, even well into the next realm, I'll just tell you it's the same. He's far above even those, whatever those are, okay, which you don't even have a clue about. And whatever, it doesn't matter. He's far above, okay, just that way. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. So where are all things? Under His feet. Second anatomical reference. So His butt's in the heavenly places, and His feet are on top of all things, okay, because everything's in subjection under His feet, okay? And He gave Him, Father gave Jesus as head, third anatomical reference, head, okay? What does a head do? What does your head do, Dave? Not much. Wrong. What does your head do? It thinks. It combines all the senses. It becomes aware. It sees. It hears. It understands. It speaks. It knows. It has wisdom. It has foresight. Your head has a lot of things. That's what Jesus is. Don't make it monolithic. Don't make it Jesus is just, in charge. Okay, that's not what this is saying. He's the head, and the head has been given as a gift to you, okay? Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Again, I have myself in my reading. He put in all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head. Gave Him as head. He gave you a present. He gave you a present. The present is Jesus. Jesus as head, as the thought process, as the communication, as the control, as the, yes, the leader, as the one that sends communications down to wiggle fingers, okay, that sends things down to put the foot on top of things in subjection, that sends things down to says where that butt's got to be. Because, let me just say, He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. Who's the church? Raise your right hand. Over all things to the church, which is His body, okay? How many is this? Got a butt, we've got a head, we got feet, and now we got a body. Fourth anatomical reference. Okay, so you are His body, okay? You're His body. I have a question for you. Is the butt part of the body or is the butt part of the head? Okay, just checking. So where is the butt that's you? Okay, your butt. Okay, where's that? Seated in heaven. Okay, good. I mean, this is pretty simple. I had to keep it simple because we're talking to kids last week. Okay, all right. So I'm just making it really simple for us. Okay, so yeah, I'm dumbing it down just a little tiny for you, Dave. No, that's not true. The truth is that it's your butt that's sitting in heavenly places, and it's His butt. Okay, because guess what? Your body. You, the body, are His body. Understood this? Okay, look, these are all anatomical references in like 3, 4, 5 verses here. Okay, so I'm not stretching this to make it an anatomical analogy here. It's there. Okay, so and whose feet are these feet that we're talking about? His and ours. Okay, the truth is they're under his feet, but guess what? The feet are the feet part of the head or feet part of the body? Body. Yeah, you're right. And so all things are in subjection under his and your feet. Yes, that's all part of the same anatomical reference. And he put all things in subjection under his, our feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. And what's his body? It says, the fullness, literally the completion of him who fills all in all. So what it's saying is that you're the body and you complete Jesus. You complete Jesus. That's your calling. Your calling is to complete him. He intentionally left things undone. He intentionally left miracles unperformed. He intentionally left truths untaught so that you could complete him. He did it intentionally. He wanted to leave things for you to do. Why? Just because he's good. He wanted to give you things to glorify you and him. He wanted to put his inheritance in the saints. He wanted to have stuff for you to do. Even really super interesting stuff for you to do. Not just sort of like the same as everybody else. He wanted to do cool stuff with you. Go ahead.
I'm actually back one thought right now. Put our soul into us to receive it back. As you were speaking of maybe 5 minutes ago. But the current one, I lost the moment I didn't get to blurt it out. But when you were talking about the head, you finished by saying what I was thinking at the same time. Integrate and communicate. Yeah.
All of that. He integrates it. He plans it. He instructs it. He figures it out. He accomplishes it by one step, two steps, wiggle this finger, you know, make that one go. Okay. He did all of that. The head doesn't do this. The head instructs it and sends the communication down there to accomplish it. And we are his body, the completion of him who fills all in all. We complete him, okay? And understand this. He intentionally left things undone so you can do them. It's his goodness that he did that. Goodness to you. He didn't. It's a great plan, great execution, because he's good to you. Okay? So let me just say, that's the context of life in which we live. Go ahead.
We get to fill in the blanks.
We get to fill in the blanks, and he left the blanks there intentionally with your name on it, Estella. He said, here's the blank I want Estella to fill. I've got this great plan. I'll have her born sometime in the 1900s. That'll be the date. Okay, and she'll finish this right here. And that's the reality. God has these plans for his body. All right. Now that's context, and I want you to understand context, okay? Now I want to talk about our adjustments. I want you to hear some things, and then we'll get to a teaching. My people who are called by my name, they're rising up. Who's my people? Raise your right hand. Thank you very much. You should take comfort in knowing that I am with you, says God. But do not mistake love for tolerance. I'm the same God yesterday and today. I bring judgment with conviction. I'm gracious to forgive, but I also bring judgment to those who will not yield to my calling. You know, we have reasons for not doing what he says. Anybody want to throw some reasons at me? What are some really good reasons not to do what Jesus says? No, I'm tired. Okay, that's a good one. Too old. Oh, that's a famous one. What's that? People will laugh at you. Okay, those are good ones. You're good at this, Dad. Wow, you're good. Anybody else? Does anybody else want to be part of it?
I got a headache.
I got a headache. Okay, that's a great one, too. I have something more important to do. Did you have something, Nick? No. You almost bought it. Okay, you just bought whatever that was I was selling on the... It's too hard. It's too hard. I know a better way. I just don't feel like it. Go ahead. Fear. Fear is, I mean, if you actually look at a number of the ones that we're talking about, it comes down to a couple of good basic lies. I don't feel like it, or, you know, that's can I just characterize that as sort of like base desires of my own selfish life, okay? And then fear, those are good ones, okay? And lies, okay, I mean, that would maybe be all of them, huh, Mom? Reserving judgment over God is what you're saying. Am I right? And so, I appreciate your advice, okay? And I will take it under consideration, God, just exactly how to execute what you're saying. Is that fair? And then, you know, time goes by. Tick. Tick. I kind of maybe forget a little bit. Half intentionally, or not very intentionally, just a little intentionally. I just kind of forgot a little, right?
I will not strive with my people forever, and the call will stop at some point. The door will be left open just a little bit longer. Rise up and take your place. There will be consequences for those who choose to be disobedient to my calling. We must align and agree with the Lord. He has to fix whatever it is that is holding us back in order for us to do what he's calling us to do. You know, when it comes right down to it, it's his perfect love that casts out our fear. When it comes right down to it, he's the one that has to save us from this body of death, okay, our own selfish lusts and our whatever it is that is holding us back, all of those things, the lies, he has to... Those who walk through the door will be part of the great awakening and great movement coming upon our land. Each of us taking our posts and positions, walking in our callings. Those who do not answer the call will be left behind. The Lord is gracious. The call must be answered while there is still time. So I want to talk to us today very effectively and very adjustment-orientedly. Okay? There's an adjustment that God is calling us to. And I want to talk to you about the reality of walking with God. You've heard me say, and you've heard me say many, many, many times, that you are not under law, but you are under grace. And I, by no means, will adjust that. There is no adjustment to that. You are not under law, you are under grace. But you have to be under grace. Because if you're not under grace, then you're under law. Does that make sense? We're going to read a few scriptures. First, let me say, you are called higher than you are now. Anybody want to disagree with me? Show of hands, disagreement. All right, you are called higher than where you are right now. You are called up. God is calling you up. What's the issue? Typically, it's no great big thing. Typically, there's a lot of little tiny things. Song of Solomon says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. You see, when the fox goes by and just disturbs the blossom, the fruit is impacted. While the blossom's there, if the blossom gets jarred, you miss out on that grape. I speak to you about fruit for a moment. Fruit is a powerful, powerful thing.
fruit has within it the capacity to reproduce not just another grape, but a whole vineyard. Do you understand that? Inside the fruit is the seed. And inside the seed is the genetics of the whole thing, the design, the ability to totally procreate, not just procreate grape to grape, but procreate grape to vineyard. And in you and in your fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's within you, is the capacity for the Holy Spirit to recreate a child of God. Not just, you know, a little piece of love or joy or patience or kindness. Yes, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not just that, but a whole production factory of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You are a production factory. The Spirit comes in you and produces fruit, but inside each one of those loves and joys and peaces and patiences and kindnesses and goodnesses is the genetics of the Father, the genetics of the Holy Spirit, to reproduce a child of God, not just a grape. Understood? Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. So very often, the things that the Lord has His finger on are not that you're an axe murderer or a bank robber, as Dad likes to talk about. It's not your serial rapist nature that we're going to. It's little things. Let me say this to you. You are under grace because you hear and walk with God. Do you see what I mean? I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures and talk to you about the adjustments that I want to make here. But you're under grace because you hear and walk with God. You're under grace because you hear and walk with God. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of grace, but in terms of being under grace, in terms of being in that judgment scheme, okay, you are there because you believe, because you hear, and because you walk with God. That's how it works. I'll read you scriptures and we'll get that in a moment, okay? The key issue that I want us to understand is that you are not under law. Okay? So these are fine-tuned adjustments. So carefully listen to what I have to say here. It's very important. There's three facets to it. Say again. Harp strings, okay? And they're finely tuned, okay? It's essential that we hear this. Okay, so number one, I'm going to read you some scriptures. Galatians 5, verse 16, 17, 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, so one of our excuses is, I'm too tired. Another excuse, I don't feel like it, right? But the key issue here is, it's not that Dave has to go back to the Ten Commandments and start behaving himself according to the Ten Commandments, because that's not it at all, okay? But whatever the Lord says to Dave, that's really, really important, okay? Now, it may not be important for me to do whatever the Lord called Dave to do, but it's important for Dave to hear and walk with the Lord. I mean, if Dave doesn't hear and walk with the Lord, he's putting himself in jeopardy. And so that's important to me too. But in particular, it's very important to Dave. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So he's not saying, listen and hear the Spirit, and you will not carry out the flesh. He's saying, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So you don't actually just have, bloop. Either Dave's going to do what the Spirit is leading him to do, or he's not. Those are the really, and it really, it comes down to that. It's no longer about whether he's going to obey the Ten Commandments and the 50 billion other commands that I could lay on him. It's all about whether he's going to walk by the Spirit or not. It goes on to say, verse 18, it says, but if, anybody say if? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So how do you not be under the law? If you are being led by the Spirit. Okay, so that's a question of actual trajectory. Notice this? It's a question of trajectory. Not just that you hear or that you have the capacity to be led by the Spirit, but that you are being led by the Spirit. Do you understand that? The thing I want to say to you, well, I'll get to that in a minute. We have to be careful about logic here, okay? Because it says, if, then. If A, then B. Let me ask you, I'm giving you, if A, then B. That's truth, right there. If you're being led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Let me say, what if not B? Then not A. Understand, that's true. That's true. If not B, then not A. Okay, so if A, then B. Says, if not B, then not A. Understood? Okay. All right, we're going to go forward. John chapter 8, verses 42 and then 47. Jesus says to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Okay? We can buy that, right? For I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I've not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. He goes on to say, He says, he who is of God hears the words of God. That's what Jesus said, okay? That's John 8, 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. And then he's talking to those others, and he says, for this reason you do not hear them because you're not of God. So it's a key issue to recognize that he who is of God hears the words of God. John chapter 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now let me, I don't necessarily always like how things are translated, so I want to give you clarities here, okay? The word keep, often I have felt, is like this kind of, you keep as in perfectly obey. I do want you to obey. And I do want you to keep it. And I do want to move towards obedience. But you're called to keep. Hold on to. Treasure. Okay? Observe. See before you. Retain before you my what? Commandments? To me, that sounds like something chiseled on a piece of rock. Okay? You know. And that's not at all what he's saying. And you can see it contextually. That's not what he's saying. A better translation of that word is my commands. Okay, so what Jesus commands David to do, keep that, keep it, hold on to it, and don't you let go of that. In fact, keep it before you. This is where you're called to go. This is who you are, and believe that, agree with that. Don't faithlessly discard that because of, I don't feel like it, I've got a headache, I don't want to, I'm afraid, I don't think I can. Okay, those are not good enough excuses. If you love me, keep my command. Elsewhere he says, keep my word. Go ahead.
Keep is another way of saying defend from the lies.
Defend from the lies and hold on to it. And it's retain. It's also guard. Guard is a very key part of the sense of keep. Okay, it's guard and it's retain. Okay, those are the two fundamental aspects of those, okay, is to guard and to retain what he has said. If you love me, then you will keep my commands. Then he goes on to say, and I want you to hear the context of this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper and he'll be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you and will be in you. Jesus answered and said to them, this is skipping a few verses ahead to 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He will guard and hold on to my word. So if you love him, you will keep his word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So there's a keeping of his word that's essential to us. Okay, remember, I'm talking to you about the little foxes that spoil the vineyards when they're in blossom. The blossoming time is one of the most fragile moments in the whole procreation process for plants. It's a very fragile time. I can't remember. Nate told me once about a worm or something like that, or something that just barely impacts, I think it was the strawberry flower, but maybe it was some other flower. Maybe it was peas or something else. I can't recall, but it was some flower. And it's just a small impact on that flower can make a big impact in the fruit. Or maybe even cause the fruit not to exist at all. You see, often in the sort of keeping stage, in the here's my word stage, we can let go of these things because of something fleshly or maybe something spiritual that comes against the word. And we drop it. And I'm going to tell you something. A dropped flower is equivalent to a dropped strawberry. Okay? Because that strawberry never gets produced. Okay? Does that make sense? So the fruit doesn't happen, and then the seed from that fruit is also gone. And when you think about the reality of how God works in his kingdom, where one seed becomes 100, and 100 seeds becomes 10,000, let's not knock off the blossom. Let's beware and be careful. Okay, so Jesus says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Look, he's not here to say, keep my word, and gosh, you fail once and he gives you the Spirit for reminding you. Let's just pray for a moment. You ready? Let's pray. Say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission. No, I even beg you to bring to mind that which Father or Jesus has spoken. I want to keep his word. Everything he has given me, I want to hold on to that. I want to guard it. Help me, Holy Spirit, to remember. Amen. So let me say to you that if you love him, you keep his word. Don't forget that real faith is faith that it comes out. You cannot hide true faith. True faith results in something. Do you know that? It has an outcome. There's a product of that faith. What's that? An effect. An impact. Something that comes out. Real faith is faith that results in being led. You know, when Jesus was hanging around on the earth, those that had faith in him followed him. Jesus said, come follow me. Real faith results in following. Real faith results in obedience. It's real faith like that faith that is a catalyst for your eternal salvation. Do you know that? That's real faith. Real faith like that is the catalyst for what Father is doing in you and through you. Real faith comes out. Papa, you have something you want to say there? Galatians 5, verse 6 says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Okay? In other words, that outward sign of your religious behavior doesn't mean anything. But faith working effectually through love. Now that's what means something. Faith. Okay, so let me try to be a little bit articulate in what I'm saying today. You're called to hear and walk with God. You're called to hear, that's the first thing, and to know the purposes of God. You're called to grab a hold of and own those. But you are also called to walk in those purposes of God. And if the bottoms of your feet don't get muddy in the results of what's going on, if you're not effectively doing what you're hearing, then there's legitimacy for you to wonder about the first statement. Are you hearing and walking with God? So here's the deal. We have to hear and know God. Hearing and knowing God will produce a walking with God. Okay? So my first statement is you've got to know Him. And that's the whole of life. But if the whole of life doesn't result in a different thing, if it doesn't result eventually in obedience, then you have to really wonder whether the first thing is actually happening or not. Okay? And that's legitimate. Because if this, then that. If you are hearing and knowing God, then that will result in what He says to you, adjusting your life. And the little foxes are going to get the boot. You hear what I'm saying to you? And here's my third adjustment. I want you to hear the third adjustment as well. So if you are hearing and knowing Him, then that will change how you are walking. If you're not walking in a changed way, then I wonder about this one. Okay? But, third aspect, do not say, good, look, I'm being changed. Must be, I'm hearing and knowing. Because therein is a lie. Therein is you being justified by your works. Because it says, if this, then this. It doesn't say, if this, then that. Nope, nope, nope. If this, then this. And if, in fact, you say, oh, this means that, then you've undermined the whole deal. And it's a problem. A truth. You need it, the sum and substance. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is the substance of eternal life, knowing Him. That's our first term. Second term is walking with Him. I have a question for you. Is that also knowing Him? It's knowing Him effectively. And the third term says, don't you dare think that just because you did this, that's how you're saved. Because that's also knowing Him. The third term is also knowing Him. The first term is knowing Him and believing. Oh, yeah, you know, the thief on the cross. Oh, he didn't do anything wrong. Oh, good. Good job. Don't mock Him. That's second. The third aspect, He never got to because He died too quick, thank God. Okay. The reality is that this third option is, there was no way that He took, you know, gosh, boy, aren't I a great guy because I just said that. He just didn't do that. And you and I need to be careful of that as well. Let me say this. The thing that I want you to understand very clearly is that when I talk to you about knowing God, believing God, hearing His voice, keeping His word, I'm not talking about a philosophy. I'm not talking about a religion of hearing God. I'm not talking about a falseness. I'm talking about a reality that is executed. It's a reality of walking with God. You see, if you're hearing God, you'll walk with Him.
If you're living with God and believing Him, you'll walk with Him. If the foxes continue to spoil the fruit, the blossoms, and therefore prevent the fruit, then you got an issue. And you know, you can say, well, I've got fruit, and so therefore, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Let us know. Let us press on to know. Forget where I heard that recently. Somebody quoted the, I don't know, sixth chapter of Isaiah or third chapter of Isaiah, I can't recall. Let us, or no, it was Hosea. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. We have been buried with Christ in baptism so that we can walk in newness of life. Okay? There is, you're called to walk in newness of life. And there's things that the Lord has put His finger on. And I feel like the clarity from the Lord is that there's some things that are intervening, interfering with your calling. You're called higher and the little foxes are in the way. And God's saying, those little foxes got to get dealt with. Okay? They got to get dealt with. There's some little issues. Maybe you call it your personality. Maybe you call it your weakness. Maybe you call it your stumbling. Maybe you call it, you know, I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm just, you know, I got a headache. Maybe I just don't feel like it or whatever. Those issues, God's got His finger on them. Maybe it's something that He's, you know, you got to stop this approach to life or this whatever. That's what you just invited the Holy Spirit to remind you of. Because there's stupid little things, little foxes, that are interfering with your promotion, and God's not having that. He's not about that. He doesn't like that. If we've become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so we would no longer be slaves to sin. Can I just tell you something? Define sin for me when you're under grace. Define it. Go ahead. I'll tell you what it is. Discarding His word. Not owning, embracing, keeping, guarding His word. Not being changed by His word. Hearing the Spirit and not walking by the Spirit. Can I just help you out? Okay? No, you know, I'm not here to... I'm here to say, you've been given the Holy Spirit to change who you are. To elevate you. To project you beyond your wildest dreams. Here's the reality. Hear the word of the Lord and go. Move it. Move it along. And you have. Okay, I'm not saying you haven't. You have. But God's calling you higher. Higher is where you're called to be. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And you know, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about a headache. Or I don't feel like it. Okay? And I realize I'm kind of being, trying to get us to where we really live here. Okay? I'm afraid to. No good excuse, okay? Sorry, excuse not received. You see what I mean? I'm not trying to be harsh either, but I'm trying to say, it's time for the foxes to get out of the vineyard, okay? And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Listen, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Did you know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey? Are you trying to say to me, George, that I could be slave to a headache, or I could be slave to a, I don't feel like it, or I could be slave to I don't want to, or slave to, I forget, or slave to someone might laugh at me. Let's call that fear of man. Or slaves to, I don't think I can do that. Or slaves to, you know, I don't like doing that. That just makes me very uncomfortable. Don't make me do that. Or slaves to what? Stupid little foxes that spoil the fruit because they bump the blossom. Okay, I'm calling us up. I'm calling us to a place, because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit already said, fear of man is a snare to you. Okay? And the Holy Spirit also said, here's how you're going to live separately from that. The Holy Spirit said, you know, your own, you know, pleasure, your own comfort has been a snare to you. And here's how you're going to move away. Your own lack of pain even, okay, has become such a goal, okay? Here it is. Here's how you can live differently. Now he's calling you to eject the foxes from the vineyard. And he'll speak to you again. He'll remind you. That's one of his roles. Okay, if you can't remember, I feel like sometimes I forget, okay? And I know that that's not acceptable. I'm called to keep his word, okay? All right? And I don't want to forget things. So God, remind me of what I've forgotten. And help me to live in the power of your word. You remember that every time God speaks a word to you, the inside of the package of his words is the power to perform it. He gives to you the capacity to do whatever he calls you to do.
May I submit that it is acceptable for you to forget,
yeah,
but it's not an acceptable excuse to not obey.
That's right.
Because his role is to remind you, he is saying to us, I know that you are dust. You know, I know that you're who you are. And he is not like the taskmaster saying, oh, you forgot. No,
boom.
He already provided,
yes,
the reminder that we all need.
We do. You're right.
And there is one other fox that is just on my mind as you're sharing, and it's the situation that comes to mind is middle of the night needing to get up and take care of kids. You know, something that's not uncommon in my house. And when I feel overwhelmed with tiredness, then I find myself getting angry, like, or overwhelmed, or like, I can't do this. But when I, instead of relying on my feeling of, oh, I so want to be asleep right now, but on the reality that, God, you said there would be enough, and I'm realizing that what I'm actually fighting is a fox that's saying there's not enough. There's not enough sleep. There's not enough energy. And if I believe that fox, then I remove myself from grace and find life very difficult. But is there so much? I mean, it's just like the fox. When I believe the fox, then I remove myself from the grace that enables me to do the thing. But if I simply remember and believe, God, you said there would be enough.
Then there is.
You know, so I'm going to believe that there's enough despite what I feel. And when I do that, I step into his enough, and there's grace to do it.
You are not under law, but you are under grace. And that's such a great thing that we are in fact under grace. Not just philosophically under grace, but in fact under grace. If you zoom down to the bottom of Romans chapter 6, it says, but now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Now, I want to say enslaved to God. God wants you free. But he says in verse, 19, that he's saying, for the weakness of your flesh, that's why I'm talking to you this way. Okay? But enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, it says. Okay? But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. And the word benefit there is actually, guess what? What's the word benefit there, if you look in Greek? Fruit. You derive your fruit, okay? You actually get to have your fruit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome
eternal life. You see, each of these adjustments adds up to an outcome. You see, each of these judgments really is, come to the Lord, come to the Lord, come to the Lord. And they result in having come to the Lord. It's a result of eternal life and sanctification. Wanted to point out two things. One is that it is your fruit that he is after you getting. But the second is, but now having been freed from sin, that's a passive thing, having been freed, and having been enslaved to God, also relatively a passive thing, you derive your benefit. That's an active thing. Okay? You get to have the fruit. You get to have the fruit because of what he has done for you. See, the passive voice suggests there's another actor. Okay? It's not that you're doing the acting, it's him. So he freed you. And he, even by his reminder, by his speaking, enslaves you to God. In other words, connects you to him. And yes, you by your choice. But in there, you acquire fruit. You get to have fruit. And you do it. You do it. He gives it to you and you do it. You accomplish it. I want us to understand that we are called higher. And the trouble isn't that you're an axe murderer, okay, or a bank robber. The trouble is little foxes. You are called higher. You are called to be a transformational, like a factory of transformation. You are called to produce, not only be transformed, but to produce transformation in your world around you. You are called to forever change reality, not just yours, but other people's, and then through other people beyond them. You are called to forever change reality. And yet, there's a problem. And the problem is little things. Not that you're an ex-murderer, not that you're a bank robber, but there's little foxes that disturb the blossoms. I want to encourage you. You are called. I want to encourage you. You're called high. I want to encourage you to say, okay, Holy Spirit, remind me because I'm ready to keep his word. I love you, Jesus. I'll hold on to your word. Your word, which is there's enough, will transform how I live in a moment. Your word, if I keep it, will make all the difference in the fruit of my life. I won't accept the fox, the lie, that disturbs the blossom. I will hold on to the truth. And then, because I hold on to the truth, I will walk in that truth. Now, that's not that I have saved myself or that my good behaviors have become my savior. Nope, none of that. But I will hold on to, I will walk, and I will see you in the truth. I will see you in the walking. And I'll see you as my Savior forever. And that, there's a wholeness. The first order correction is it's all about him. The second order correction, it's all about him. The third order correction, it's all about him. Okay? It's all about him and speaking you your truth. It's all about him because you're walking with him. And it's all about him. He's your only Savior. There's nothing else about it. It's all about him. But let me remind you, there's a strong call. There's a strong call of repentance to not allow the foxes to provide you with a glass ceiling on the high call of God in your life. Because the foxes will do that to you if you don't watch out. Papa, would you speak a word over us or deliver a blessing over us in this arena? Mom, do you have anything you want to share in this spot? Just benedict us on out of here. Would you do that for us?
All right. Just one thing on two levels. One, you personally, there's a glass ceiling over you personally that needs to be removed. And what George is talking about, you can go higher than you are. There is a higher calling than you have gotten to. And that calling is real vital and necessary. God doesn't quit. He doesn't say, okay, you've done well enough. Just coast from here on in. That's not in his vocabulary. He's calling you higher. And it's the little foxes that will keep you from going higher. All right, that's for you personally. But I also happen to believe, and I believe it's prophetically out in front of us as a nation, as a world, that God is about to bring forth a revival that's going to sweep the world. It's going to upset everything that is. There's some things that God wants to accomplish that is beyond wherever we've ever seen. I happen to believe that that's true. You can be a part of that, but if you allow the little foxes to play their little games in your vineyard, you can only watch it go by. So it's a personal word to move beyond where you are, but you can become a part of the thing that God's going to do worldwide that is incredibly beyond what we have ever seen or heard done in the Church of Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years. He's about to do some stuff that's beyond what we have known, individually and corporately. So
let me just, can yep. I put an exclamation point on that?
Go ahead, go.
I just want to say, the Lord has spoken to me again recently and just shown me vision that only just barely makes any sense to me. But I know that God has called me and us to truly change the entire world, to leave a world behind that never can go back to the world that we grew up in, but that has experienced something of God beyond anything. I know we are called to change. And, you know, we use words like revival. Okay. I'm good for that. I want revival. But I want reformation such that the new level of revival never goes back to. I want to reform and reform and reform. I want to go beyond. Okay. And God has put that in sight. That's the target. That's our target, is to reform and shift utterly and to go beyond. Jesus has given that to us. I know that that's true, and I just want to encourage us. We're called to go higher.
The status quo is not the picture that God has in mind. Whatever the church has been is not what he has purposed. He has called the church for 2,000 years beyond where they are, and he calls again at the end of the age. And it's his intention that there will be that reality. And I want you to hear what George said. He said, I believe God has called me to make a change in my world that will not just impact me, but my world that will never go back. The God that calls him there is the same God that calls you. And he has not said, well, there's a few that I want to call that will only just meander through and the rest will really go forward. I don't think he has second-rate children. I think his desire is for every one of his children to go forward, to blast out beyond the edges of where they have been. And that's the truth concerning George, but it's the truth concerning you. Don't let the enemy say, well, that may be good for George, but I'm just little old me, and I'll never do much more than just get there. Well, I don't believe that's God. I don't believe God said to anybody, you'll get there, but you just barely make it. I think his invitation is that let me deal with every one of those little foxes, and I want to bring you way out to the edge of where you can go. Grand slam for everyone. You want to say something? You're allowed to say something.
Well, you know, we have group meetings, mm-hmm. right? And we're supposed to go from each one of us and share something that was going on within our lives and how God was working. Well, I decided I was going to skip. Well, you don't skip. God wasn't going to let me skip.
What she's meaning is when it was her turn to share, she said, I'll pass. I'll let somebody else talk, not me. All right.
I'll skip it.
I'm telling you what really happened there.
Well, I thought I was doing a good job, but evidently I wasn't. But anyway, this was, I went to work the next day. I felt, well, I'll touch a little bit about what happened with the skip. God was talking to me in a mighty way, and I thought, well, who am I? Who am I to, step out? But the next day, he used that in a mighty way. I went to work, and I was tired, and I mentioned it to one of the ladies there. And I said, you know, night before, I didn't get much sleep, and I didn't get much sleep last night. And I went to church, and then I was up with my dog and that, so I was pretty tired. So she looks at me, and she says, what do you get out of that? And I says, what? She says, going to church. Well, God has spoken to me in a mighty way. It touched my heart. And I all of a sudden, I couldn't. Nobody had ever asked me that. And I just looked at her, and I said, it's awesome. So we begin to talk, and, you know, you're kind of in the middle of everything there. And so you're trying to, you don't feel worthy in what you need to say. And it's never been asked me that question. And I wasn't expecting it. But anyway, out of that, we talked a long ways. And I talked to my daughter about it later. And I said, I felt so disjointed when I was speaking about the Lord. And, things, but when I look back and I thought I didn't say a lot, you know, that, and I was feeling kind of not, maybe I missed something that would make things turn around. So, but after the conversation that we had, and I was talking to her about it, I said, you know, I really said a lot. I really did. I couldn't believe I said that much. So anyway, her and I were talking, and what happened? I had three different Bibles. So she didn't know what kind of Bible that she wanted. So I took in the three, and just to kind of give her an idea, and I said, there's more. I said, but, you know, you want something. She wanted something that she could do every day and understand it. So I took her in a devotional, and I took her in a study Bible, and another Bible that you can understand. But for somebody sometimes when they're just coming in, don't really fully understand what they're reading. So on Friday, now this was that. We had the meeting on Tuesday night, right? This was on Wednesday. So we touched base here and there, but not a lot, you know. And I thought, I'm not going to push. She's heard. Let her come to me, you know. And we didn't really have an opportunity also. So on Friday, I'm on the bus, and we're pulling out, and she's just coming back in from lunch, and she looks at me, and she holds up the Bible. Right? She gives me a thumbs up. And I give her a thumbs up, and I'm thinking, oh, praise the Lord. But I want prayer for her. Her name is Kim. And I told her that God, for her to ask me that question, God has to be talking to you.
That's the truth.
So there was a lot more shared with her that I won't go into, but the primary thing is that she needs prayer, and she went to church when she's little, so she's coming back.
Thank you, God.
So anyway, and the meeting on that, I will skip. God was readying me to do that the very next day. So, you know,
I was at that meeting with Bonnie. It was hilarious. She skipped, and then just the Lord just like spoke to her, and she said stuff, and it was just like one of these things where I want to skip too. I'll take the skipping part, okay? Because that was beautiful. And to hear the rest of the testimony, Bonnie, wow, right. What a beautiful thing.
But for me, and I'm sitting there in this meeting, I'm thinking, who am I? Do I belong here? Do I belong with others here? And what do I have to say? What can I contribute? God showed me.
He did. And he also exposed to you some of the enemy's lies. Because yes. It's the enemy. My mom.
Foxes.
My mom comes and tells me this. So who do you think told? Who do you think's asking you that question? Yeah. Who do you think's suggesting that to you? I mean, that's when God talks to me about those things, it's in my mom's voice that God uses. Yeah. Okay, just FYI. Okay, that's just how it works for me. I mean, you can do it however you want to, but that's how it works for me. My mom's voice is God's voice in my experience. Because the enemy wants to shut you down instead of just letting you just speak God's word.
But you were talking about foxes.
Yeah, those are foxes.
And I thought,
that's
exactly
right.
Foxes, that's what it was.
Little lies.
Because when I was in that meeting,
little
lies. I thought, who am I?
Yeah. What a lie against who you are. Who are you? Daughter of God. Well, that's all.
The Lord needed her in a unique place that none of the rest of us even know who she's talking about.
Yeah.
Bonnie.
Daughter Bonnie.
Lord, we thank you for Bonnie, and we bless her today.
And Kim.
And we bless her for what you're doing in her life and what you are yet to do. We thank you, Lord. And we also, today, we reach out to Kim, and we just say, Lord, accomplish your good work in Kim. And we agree with Bonnie. The very fact she asked the question, the very fact that she, wow, Lord, you were at work, and you needed a body to reach into that. You get that? The head was at work in Kim, but the head was calling a piece of the body to touch Kim. And Bonnie said, here am I, send me, and off we go. And that's just the story underway. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done in Bonnie already, what you're going to do in Jesus' name, and what you're going to do in Kim.
Shirley wanted you to have the people pray for someone.
Right. I will do that. Yes, George, you want to identify, what are the meetings? It's Tuesday night.
Tuesday night discipleship group and Wednesday night elders and wives.
All right.
And Thursday night food pantry. So pray.
There was a Lori Irvin who is in the hospital and brain tumor. And she actually goes to a different church, you know. I mean, what can you say? But she goes to church, and she's a regular church, and all of a sudden, brain tumor. And we were asked to pray for her today. Her name is Lori. And so let's just agree with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, we just reach across the miles. She's in the hospital, brain tumor. We say, Father, would you just eliminate that? Just cause it to disappear in Jesus' name. We call upon you to minister healing to Lori in Jesus' name. Amen. Jim, did you want to comment or did we get past you?
No, it's just a quick comment on what she was saying is not only did she go in there and when she's saying it had nothing to say, but God gave her all the words to say, but she didn't even go in unprepared. How many people carry three different Bibles with them at all times? God knew that you would need one of those three. So just saying that he will send you into situations like that fully prepared for what you need, or what the person needs from him through you.
Amen. And I love a fresh believer, you know. A fresh believer is eager to show the Bible, the whole world the Bible. No embarrassment. Just carries the Bible right out in the open. It's working. Father, we thank you for the word that you have shared with us today, the word that is working in us. It's working in us. It's life in us, and it's life that we desire to release. And so today, in Jesus' name, we just declare that the word that has been released to us today, it will bear fruit. It will not return to you void. It will accomplish that for which it is sent. We have heard the word. We have received the word. Now we will see it accomplish that for which it is sent. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Jim again.
God doesn't have a sense of humor. When Pastor George was talking about the head of the body of Jesus, somebody behind me, Mrs. Fry, goes, her impression was a bobblehead. So when you walk out, just think of Jesus going, that's the way I like it, bobble along.
I've never heard of him referred to as a bobblehead, but if you know a bobblehead, it's always yes. And he's always saying yes, yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen to every one of you. A former elder of this fellowship named Steve Kingsley down in North Carolina now sliced open his arm, his thumb, this morning. Should have been in church. And so I'll tell him that when I see him. But can we just pray for him for healing this today? He's in emergency either just now or in process. We pray for Steve in Jesus' name. Release the power of healing to Steve Kingsley. And Lord, we pray that not only will he have his hand healed, but his heart, his mind, release the word of the Lord to him today in Jesus' name. All people say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week of sharing the life of Jesus.
Hello, I have just a minor announcement. We have, anybody that looks at the front of the church, we got thousands of daffodils. We got some here. Cut them and take them home because they probably won't last past next week very far. So enjoy them while they're at their peak.